You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. I'm Richard Justice of MLB.com, and I'm joined by Alvin Gonzalez, who covers the Angels for MLB.com. And Alvin, lots of moving and shaking going on around baseball, the Angels have been quiet. Do you think this reflects the fact that this team won more games than any team in baseball last year? And as you look at them going forward, this is a club with very few needs.
Yeah, definitely, Richard. They got I think it's basically two reasons. One is obviously the fact that they won 98 games, and when you're a team that wins 98 games and has mostly everybody coming back, then you're really not going to be in a position where you kind of need to do much besides tinkering the roster. And I think the other reason, too, is kind of, I don't want to say their stance, that may be a little too firm, but the luxury tax threshold has kind of been their spending limit these last few years. They haven't provided any indication that they're willing to go over that luxury tax threshold. And they're about less than $10 million below that $189 million mark. So every indication that I've gotten this offseason has been that they're not really in on any of the big free agents. They're not really even in on any of the middle-tier free agents. Frankly, I wouldn't be all that surprised if they went through this entire offseason without signing somebody to anything more than the major league minimum. Now, having said that, Artie Moreno is a very competitive guy, and sometimes he does things that really surprise us, like two off-seasons ago when he went out and signed Josh Hamilton to a $125 million contract. So that's why I wouldn't completely rule anything like that out, but all indications from the start of the playoffs to the end of the playoffs up until now is that they're not really going to be a major player in the free agent market.
Well, Alden, if we were going to play the hypotheticals, and that's what we do in the offseason, what would they need? I mean, would it be just as simple as adding a starting pitcher? Is there a pressing need for a team that won 98 games?
Well, if there was a move to be made here, and if they were going to make the big splash, and if they were going to say that, forget about the luxury tax threshold, we're going to blow past it, we have all this revenue coming from TV, we draw 3 million fans a game, blah, blah, blah. If they're going to blow past it, then it would be to add a starting pitcher. Again, I don't see that happening, but if it were to happen, it would be to go out and get a Max Scherzer, a John Lester, maybe to a lesser degree, a James Shields, because you put that guy on the top of your rotation, now all of a sudden, Jared Weaver doesn't have to be that ace guy. Obviously, he's getting a little older. His stuff continues to diminish a little bit. You're not putting that pressure on Garrett Richards to anchor a rotation coming off some very serious knee surgery that's pretty unprecedented for a starting pitcher. And all of a sudden, you look like one of the best teams in baseball on paper. Now, the problem with that is you're going to commit to another long-term contract when you already have big contracts for Mike Trout and Albert Pujols and Josh Hamilton. And then for the following offseason, you're close to the luxury tax threshold again, and when you surpass the luxury tax threshold a second time, that's a 30% tax on the overage, and that's even greater. And I think that's the biggest reason, too, why they don't want to surpass the threshold, because they know that even if they don't add anybody this offseason, they're going to be close to that mark again next year. And that's a scary thought, because once you get into that position when you're a second, third-time offender to the luxury tax threshold, that's when you're really getting taxed very heavily. We saw it with the Yankees. We're seeing it now with the Dodgers. No team wants to be in that situation.
Alan, do you think that organizationally they have confidence that Josh Hamilton still can be a dominant player?
I think they see it just the way everybody else sees it, which is they have no idea what to expect at this point. They want to believe. They have no choice but to believe because they signed him for 3 more years and he's got a full no-trade clause, and because he's pretty much untradeable right now because there's really no value on him. But I think, like everybody else, they have no idea. What they do know is that the talent is there and that he's relatively healthy. I know he battled through shoulder issues and an issue around his ribcage area in the final month of the season, but he didn't require any off-season surgeries, any type of procedures. The only thing he needed was a little bit of rest to kind of let his body recuperate. He's healthy. He's got a bunch of talent. But you don't know. I mean, he's one of the most enigmatic players that I've ever covered, and, you know, he showed a lot of promise. And I keep going back to this, and I know it was such a short sample size, but those first 2 weeks of the regular season, he looked like Josh Hamilton in his MVP season. He broke his thumb. He never really regained his power. And then the last month of September, he was just fighting uphill because he was never healthy. I don't think they have any idea what to expect from Josh Hamilton next season. I don't think anybody does.
We haven't spoken since Mike Trout won the American League Most Valuable Player Award, probably the award he should have now won three times in a row. But that's beside the point. In this season, what did you learn about Mike Trout that maybe you – was there things that surprised you, or just what did you see out of Mike Trout this year that advanced what we know about the kid?
Oh, I think just – I mean, Richard, he's an incredible talent. I've said it a million times, everybody has, and he's just got such an uncanny ability to make adjustments in-game and to just never really feel the brunt of the pressure of who he is and all the attention that he gets and things like that. But I thought this was a very interesting season for Mike Trout because many people will say, and I tend to agree that, and this is a compliment to the kid, it really is, this was his worst season. You know, this was his worst season, and there was no doubt that he was going to be the MVP this year. He was a unanimous pick for the award, and, you know, and this was a season that kind of started to show some flaws in his game that actually he needs to shore up and that I think he will shore up. I don't think Mike Trout's ever going to be the kind of player like Albert Pujols who's striking out. But I also don't think that he's a guy that strikes out 184 times in a season. I really think that this year, that strikeout total, which was the highest total ever for an MVP winner, I really think that's going to come down. And I can never talk about Mike Trout's strikeouts without feeling a little ashamed because it just always sounds like you're being way too nitpicky for a guy who's only 23 years old and who's the best player in baseball. But
right.
You think about that, though. He's got such great strike zone awareness. He's so comfortable hitting with two strikes, and he's got this really short, compact swing that doesn't really require much maintenance. He's a guy who should not be striking out that much, and a lot of the Angels coaches feel like next year, without the need for major adjustments, he's going to be a lot more efficient at the plate. And he's just still learning himself, Richard. This is a guy who would still be in Double A, Triple A next year if he was on a normal clock. You know, I expect him to maybe be a little bit more aggressive early in counts, to not fall victim to that elevated fastball, to that rising fastball like he did so much last year. And these are adjustments that he could make very easily by just learning himself, learning his game. And I mean, there are areas for him to improve. And it's just amazing to say that, Richard, for a guy who was just voted the unanimous MVP at age 23.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to you to see the progression of his career and just how high he rises on the greatness charts. And it's a pretty special year for him and for the Angels. And I appreciate you joining us, Alvin. We'll see you. Talk to you in a couple of weeks. Thanks, as always. Great work.
Great. Thank you, Richard. Appreciate it, man.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, T-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.